lift up holy hands. Come on. Father God, tonight we lift up holy hands in this place. We're remembering the life of Jesus. We're remembering the death of Jesus, the sacrifice. So we've come to give you praise tonight, Lord God. We give honor and gratitude and thanksgiving to the one, the only one, who is worthy. We reverence you, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Say thank you, Lord. Come on, church, thank you. Come on, just thank you. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you delivered me. Come on, thank you that you're working in me. Come on, thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you're strengthening me tonight. Thank you that your plan's still unfolding in my life tonight. Thank you.
We give you all praise, God.
Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I don't want your face in tonight, but listen to me. You're in the right room with the right people, serving the right God. Come on. So we turn our eyes off of ourselves, off of our problems, our difficulties, and our challenges. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. So we look up, we look to him. He is our help, he is our confidence, he is our savior. Come on, everybody, amen. Come on, amen. Come on, go ahead and be seated tonight. Thank you for being with us. We welcome you tonight. I want to read some scripture tonight, and what we're going to be doing is a powerful reminder every time we receive communion enactment of the power of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ called communion. I want to draw your attention tonight, though, not back to what 1 Corinthians chapter 11 really details, but go back further to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus. Again, the meal that we're called communion, that we celebrate as communion, the Hebrew people first enjoyed and first partook of. Anybody remember that in Exodus chapter 12? Remember what it was called? Passover. The Passover was going to then, right before what the event that they celebrated was going to be the last plague, the 10th plague, which was going to be the death of the firstborn son and or animal in the nation of Egypt or Israel if they didn't do what God told them to do. And the Exodus chapter 12 talks all about this first Passover. Look on the screen behind me, if you will. Let's get some scripture in us tonight before we partake. So just to let you know what we're going to be doing, we'll read some scripture tonight, and then we'll start. The ushers will let families from the back of the auditorium to the front of the auditorium come up and receive communion. We just believe that tonight, as we come as families and receive communion, whether you're single or whether you've got your family with you, that we come together and we partake individually but collectively as a family, because I believe that God's going to do something in families tonight. Amen. We see this in the Passover with Exodus. Look on the screen there, Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. the word of the Lord came to them and said, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So God tells the nation of Israel, who'd been in bondage for 430 years in a foreign country in Egypt, they had been in bondage. It's a phenomenal try to picture this. Our nation is only less than, 300 years old. They had been in bondage for 430 years. Everything they've known is slavery. And God says to them, this month is going to be the beginning of months to you. It's going to be the first month of the year. In other words, what God says is your calendar is going to be reset according to this event. This is going to be a new beginning for you. And I can't help but just say to everybody in the room tonight that needs to hear this word, I believe tonight this communion meal has the power to reset and reorganize your life. Whatever's been going on, listen to me, can be changed tonight because of the power of this communion meal. He's telling them that your family, Israel, your Hebrews, your generations are going to be affected by what's happened in this Passover. This Passover meal has got the power and the capacity to completely alter and re-alter and reshape and move you in a different direction. It's going to break the hold of the enemy off your life, the power of this communion. This Passover was going to usher in, again, a new way of life, a new beginning. They were no longer going to be slaves. So listen to me tonight. When we come up and you come up to partake of this communion meal, I don't want you to come up with the idea that I'm going to just do this and this is some religious tradition, because it's not. This is bringing you close and in relationship with Jesus Christ. It's remembering him, that now my life, come on, let's believe this, now my life is going to be recalibrated. It's going to be something brand new. Come on, something brand new. Can I get an amen in the house? Verse 3 just says this phrase, a lamb for a household. A lamb for a household, it says. No house was going to be excluded. No house. And so listen, if you're the head of the house, I want you to serve the communion meal to your family, those that are there. If you're a single mom and you've got your kids, you're the head of your house. You serve that with your family. If you're here, no house excluded. A lamb for a house. Joshua, Moses' predecessor, said, as for me and my, come on, help me. As for me and my house, what are we going to, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to get a lamb for my house. There's got to be a lamb in my house. Every lamb for a house. Every house had to follow the precepts that God said. The lamb, if you read it in detail, it says that the lamb was supposed to be with the family for 4 days. It was their lamb. It had to be spotless. It had to be sinless. There had no defects on it. The lamb was to live among them. This is the language. The lamb is to live among you. You were supposed to be familiar with the lamb. 4 days looking, making sure there's no blemish, making sure there's no sickness, making sure it's the best lamb that we've got. And regardless of how they felt that day, regardless of what was going on in their world that week or that month, if they realized what the power would do for them, it would deliver them regardless of what was happening in their life at that particular moment. The lamb was to, we would say, live among them for 4 days. And I can't help but think the analogy, the natural analogy for us is that Jesus wants to live amongst our family. He wants to be in the day in and day out stuff that we go through. He wants to help us. He wants to counsel us. He wants to bring his peace in our life. Let me just encourage you this morning or this night. Let the lamb in your house. Let him in your house. Of course, the lamb symbolizes what's meek, what's lowly, what's innocent, what's pure. And so I can't help but think about those characteristics and those traits that God wants in all of our lives, in the interpersonal relationships in our own home. So much stress, so much problems, so much anxiety, so much confusion, so much hurt happens in the home. And God's saying, I want to be the lamb for every household. The scripture says in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Notice those first two words, your lamb. Look at that, your lamb, your lamb. Again, make the lamb personal to you and your family. Jesus, you are the Lamb of God for me and my house. Thank God for what you're doing in my neighbor's house and my friend's house over there, but I want you in my house, in my life. Your lamb would be without blemish, the male of the first year. Without blemish means whole. It means complete. It means healthy. It means that they could not take the diseased lamb and offer it before God. It had to be the best. There had to be this identification that the lamb that they had there in Exodus was going to be a type and a shadow of the perfect lamb, Jesus Christ, who would take away the sin of the world, including our sin. Peter says this. Look at the detail that Peter says in this translation in the Amplified in 1 Peter 1:19. Peter says, but you were actually purchased. Notice these words. You were actually purchased with the precious blood, like that of a sacrificial lamb, unblemished and spotless, the priceless blood of Christ. Precious blood, priceless blood. Actually purchased, the sacrificial lamb, unblemished and spotless. Unblemished again here, without fault, untouched by sin, untouched by the stain of sin, the effects of the world. The lamb was to be studied. The lamb was spotless. The lamb couldn't be sick. The lamb couldn't be diseased. This had to be the best quality lamb each family had. And we see from Scripture, Jesus is the only one and the only person who could fulfill this, who could give his life, precious blood, spotless blood, priceless blood that could redeem us back to God Almighty. We know in the Old Testament they had to have sacrifices year after year, many times during the year. And the Bible uses a phrase that their sins were atoned or their sins were covered. But because of Jesus' blood, the Scripture says that our sins were not just covered or atoned, our sins were removed. Can I get an amen in the room? The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 7, he sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself once and for all. John the apostle says this, that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. There is no sin in Christ. He was perfect. The only one more time, who could redeem us. The perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not just the sin that you do, but more importantly, the sin nature that resided in each one of us. Paul points and writes the Scripture in Ephesians, and he says, we were all sinners. We were all guilty. We were all affected by sin. This is the way we once were. And if you're here tonight and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, you have the opportunity to do it right now in your seat. You could just say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. And the Scripture is real clear. You will be saved. Come on, everybody, you will be saved. This isn't a hard thing to do, but I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my direction. And if I've been going down a wrong path, communion is the meal that brings us back where we say, I want to come back in right relationship with you. The Bible says in Exodus 12:6, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill the lamb at twilight. We know from the New Testament accounts in the gospel that Jesus died at 3 p.m., right around 3 p.m. in the Jewish time clock, which was twilight, the same time that the lamb was to be killed in Exodus. Jesus died on the cross. And notice what it says again. Look at the verse. Then the whole assembly, this is every house of the congregation of Israel, shall kill the lamb. Notice, you kill the lamb. Our sin killed Jesus. And listen to me, we need to sit in the weight of that. That here was God Almighty came and became man, born of a woman, lived a spotless, sinless life, didn't deserve this, but willingly came. The writer of Hebrews says that he cries out and says, "Behold, I'll come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. I delight to do your will, O God, your laws within my heart. I'll come. I'll be that one. I'll be the sacrifice. I'll be the substitute." We killed the lamb. We don't have to have a constant nagging, condemning thought about it, but the weight of it, the reality of it, I think needs to hit us. We don't have to be bound by it any longer, but we have to be broken by it continually. The power of his blood, the power of his life, the power of his death, and we'll celebrate on Sunday, of course, the power of his resurrection is what makes all this possible. Verse 7, they kill the lamb, what are they supposed to do? So that this death angel would pass over them. What are they supposed to do? Verse 7, take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat. Again, put the blood over the doorposts, a sign of the cross. Put blood on the wood as the blood of Christ was on the cross of Christ, the prototype. Whoever was under the blood was protected from the death angel, protected from the curse. Who's ever under it? You could have heard it. You could have been a Hebrew and heard it and didn't do it, and you would have been affected by the curse. So hearing alone doesn't change us. It's application that changes us. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to receive communion. I believe tonight there's going to be a resetting, a reorganizing in my life because of this sacrifice. Verse 13, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, come on, read the rest of that, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Again, I will pass over you. The effects of sin here was death, physical death. The death of the firstborn son or the death of the firstborn animal. It was physical death that night would pass over them. But now because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, spiritual death passes over us. Never, ever, for any believer who makes Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, will you die spiritually separated from eternal God. You have confidence and you can know when you die tonight, or you die whenever you die, hopefully it's not tonight, when you die, don't die during communion, come on, that'd be not good night. That might be a good night, I don't know, but just don't do it, all right? But spiritual death passes over us. We're no longer separated. We're under the blood. Come on, somebody say that. I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. Come on, just say it with me. I got a lamb in my house. Come on, I got a lamb in my house. I got a lamb in my house. Man, verse 22, it tells us, take the bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike it on the lintel, the two doorposts, and the blood that's in the basin, just put the blood, apply the blood. Verse 11, here's what we're to do. You shall eat it. Eat the lamb. Eat this meal. How do we eat it? We eat it casually. We eat it watching the game. We eat it, you know, scrolling on IG, looking at TikTok videos. We eat it with our belt on our waist, our sandals on our feet, our staff in our hand. Eat in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. So what's he say? Eat ready. Eat ready, eat expectant, eat with your sandals on your feet. Get ready to move. It's a new year. It's a new time. It's a new season. Eat expecting change in my life. So we come to this communion meal and we are bringing confession to him of his lordship in our life, but we're also bringing confession to him of any sin in our life that we know of. We're not trying to dig up something from fifth grade, if you're 65 like me, but the scripture was real clear what they had to do. We haven't got time to read it all, but they during this meal, they had to go through all the house and get the leaven out of the house. Leaven represents sin. So they had to be meticulous. In the house, before the lamb can come, the sin's got to go. We are now the house of God. Before the lamb can fully take over our house, we got to get the sin out. How do we do that? We come to him boldly. We come to him humbly. We come to him honoring him and thanking him and confessing our sin, because the scripture says he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can somebody in the house say amen? Amen. So it tells us that this night, that the God who saw them in bondage for 430 years made a remedy by the Lamb. The Lamb, the perfect Lamb, the spotless Lamb, who was a type of Jesus Christ. And so now we're not living under the type, we're living under the reality of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And listen to me, here's where it gets sticky, and I'm almost done. Is even though the death angel passed over them and they were spared, and God miraculously opened up the Red Sea, if you know the account, and Pharaoh chased after them, and God supernaturally closed the Red Sea upon them, even after that, their hearts were still not changed. And so even though the power is available, their minds still were longing and going back to an old way of life, an old calendar, an old thought pattern. God got them out of Egypt, as the preacher said, but God couldn't get Egypt out of them. The world and a belief system and a struggle and an anguish and I've got to prove myself, or I've got to make my own way. No, no, no. We just have to surrender to the Lamb who's worthy. The scripture says in Revelation 13:8 that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Before God made a man, he already made a remedy to bring man back to him. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. He has been sacrificed. Would you guys come up, team? So what are we going to do tonight? Just a couple seconds. We're going to start asking folks from the back of the auditorium to come up. Let me give you some thoughts to consider tonight. When we're receiving communion, first thought is that we renounce and confess any known sin to God, asking for forgiveness. We renounce. I renounce lust in my life. I renounce greed in my life. I renounce gossip in my life. I renounce fear in my life. I renounce bitterness in my life. I renounce unforgiveness in my life. I confess it. I've not been loving toward my wife, my husband, my kids, my coworkers. I've been judgmental, critical, negative, condemning. I've just not believed. I renounce and confess any known sin. Secondly, we remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We remember it. He took our place. So we renounce. We just don't stay there. We remember. We remember what he did. He's the perfect Lamb. He takes away the sin of the world. He takes away my sin. So I renounce and I remember. And then I receive the power of his blood to redeem me. I receive it. I receive wholeness in my life. I receive the power of forgiveness and deliverance in my life, the power of salvation in my life. And then lastly, we rejoice in where he is. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's ruling. He's reigning. Come on, everybody. He's Savior of the world. The scripture says he's making intercession for you right now. Listen, as we're here right now in his high priestly role, the book of Hebrews says he's making intercession for you. Listen to me. Let me give you a word tonight, not a prophetic word, just an encouraging word. You're going to make it. Listen, you're going to make it. Listen, you're going to make it. The power of this tells me you're going to make it. You're going to make it. I'm reorganizing and resetting my life. I'm no longer going to keep going the way I'm going. This communion meal says I can be made new and I can have a new quality and directive in my life because of the power of the blood. Amen, everybody. The band's going to help us sing. Ushers, help us out. Again, we'll be coming from the back of the auditorium up to the front. Again, I want to encourage you, stay up here with your family as long as you can. If there's some issues between you and your family, maybe you just get it right.